Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ Online. We are so glad that you're here. We have a couple of folks on Zoom today. We have the Edmonds family. We have Brent Spivey on Zoom also. And we have quite a few of you on Facebook Live. We're glad that you're here. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister of this lovely congregation. And it is an honor for me to continue to minister and meet with you in such a way. So thanks for joining us. We will have Lord's Supper a little bit later, so grab some bread, grab your cup, whatever you're going to use. We'll do that after the service. Check in online. Let us know who's with you, who is watching today. Get your offering ready. We'll have a time for that a little bit later in our service. We have Caleb McDaniel here, who is going to sing songs over us and prayers over us, and we're so thankful for his presence today. And of course, Cora is going to light our candle. This is week number 34, I believe, that we have met like this. And this candle continues to remind us of God's presence with us even now. Before she comes and lights the candle, let me please read our psalm for the morning, which comes from Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever.
Good morning, church. It's good to be with you and to sing together with you and lift our voices. We'll be singing two songs, Rejoice in the Lord Always and Anywhere with Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go, anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him dearest joys would fade, anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere fear I cannot know, anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over dearest ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep, when the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall wake and never more to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus over land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free. Ready as he summons me to go or stay. Anywhere with Jesus when he points the way. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Thank you, Caleb. Okay, our Roots friends, these are for you. You should have gotten a few more in the mail this week. We already read the psalm on the front, and on the back is a really big word, rejoice. We're going to be talking about rejoicing today. Let me show our Zoom friends, too. We're going to be talking about rejoicing today, so there is some space for you to be creative, to draw as you see fit. We're so glad, as always, that you are with us. And just as we've been doing for several weeks now, I want to invite you to read the text on your own this morning, or aloud if you're with several folks. Our text comes from Philippians, as we've been in the last several weeks. It comes from chapter 4, starting in verse 2 and ending in 7. So would you spend a moment or two reading that, Philippians 4, verses 2 through 7. Read that, and I'll come back in a moment or two and think about it with you. We've recognized since the beginning of this series in Philippians that we have been reading somebody else's mail. This was not a letter written to us, but to a group of people who formed a small church a long time ago on a continent an ocean away. Because Paul was writing to people he knew, it was a personal letter. And he included situations and names that the church would have been familiar with, much like we do in our weekly newsletters or Sunday bulletins. Two of the persons he named probably wish he had not done so, because here we are talking about them 2,000 years later. Euodia and Syntyche are two women in the congregation who have been having an ongoing argument, and the disagreement is severe enough that it reaches Paul's ears. They are most likely leaders in the church, and while we don't know exactly what the quarrel was about, we can be sure that it was not a minor thing. This is why Paul brings it to the attention of the whole church, though the church is, of course, already aware of the fight. Paul knows as much as we do that leaders, by words and by deed, have a way of dividing a community, forcing them to choose a side, divvying up believers, cutting the body in two. Paul says, please resolve this conflict and be of the same mind. That's a reference back to chapter 2, verse 5, when Paul writes, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. If Euodia and Syntyche have any chance of ironing out their differences, it's going to be because they both remember that Jesus continually laid down his life for others. I don't know how many modern day church splits could have been avoided had they put on the mind of Christ, or how many once close friendships could have been mended, or how many erring ways repaired. How many relationships stay broken because neither side is willing to forgive? How often has one side been willing to budge? But why is it that the side that budges always seems to be me and not you? Maybe wholeness between persons or groups is merely wishful thinking, and detached toleration is for one another is the best that we can hope for. But Paul seems to think that when Euodia and Syntyche and the whole congregation remember the good and holy work of the gospel that they have done together, that will move the needle. The time when the church began meeting in Syntyche's home, the time when the congregation appointed them as shepherds, the time when the two women baptized 5 people in one day, the time when Syntyche's husband died, and it was Euodia who sat and wept with her, the time when they prayed for direction and the Spirit's breeze began in earnest. Paul is reminding Euodia and Syntyche and the Philippian congregation that they are a part of a grander narrative where God and Christ by God's Spirit is renewing the face of the earth, healing the scorched marks we leave behind, and planting something new to grow in its place. One of those outgrowths, surprisingly, is joy. And Paul is not afraid to say it, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. I keep in my journal a running list of things that bring me joy, what I delight in, what makes me glad, what makes me happy when I think about it. My joy list is full of things you might expect. Half is about Chelsea, half is about Cora. A third half is about Chelsea and Cora. A fourth half is about places I've been to and seen and hiked. And a fifth half is a lot about you and all the experiences that we've shared and stories that we have told together. Like the time that we commissioned Ashley Gibbs to serve with Mission Europe in Philadelphia. Or the times that we've held trunk or treat events at our building. Since Bible was my major and not mathematics, all those calculations add up in my brain just fine. But Paul's point most closely relates to my last point. Shared experiences and together stories. We know this because the word rejoice is a second person plural, which we Texans know how to use better than anyone else. Y'all rejoice. Not you all rejoice, but y'all rejoice. The other day, Chelsea, Cora, and I were leaving HEB, and the person bagging our groceries said, y'all take care now. That's the Texan way to do it right there. Y'all take care now. Y'all be good. Y'all be careful. Paul puts a little Southern seasoning into his ancient Greek language and says, y'all rejoice. This kind of joy is not a private affair, It's not an individual in good spirits in response to a happy event. This y'all joy is a collective rejoicing, a communal joy. It's a joy that's shared, a gentle joy that's given and received and passed around to one another in the church. And why? Why do we all rejoice? Why should we rejoice? Because, Paul says, the Lord is near. Because God is close by. Because God's presence is at hand. Because God watches over you like a sentry over the night wall, like a mother watches over her sleeping child. As we heard from our psalm, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. We have our y'all joy in God who is not distant. So don't worry about anything, Paul writes, but in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul had me going for a while there, the whole rejoice stuff, the gentleness stuff, the nearness. But now that he ventures into the bleak land of worry and anxiety, all bets are off. Because, you know, 2020. The anythings and everythings that this calendar year has brought us have been sources of endless worry and anxiety. Pandemic spikes and racial turbulence and an election that just would not end. Not to mention those of us who have lost jobs or family members or school routines. Or the strains on relationships that, like Euodia and Syntyche, have had an adverse effect on everyone else. A couple of weeks ago, the American Psychological Association released a report that detailed the current national mental health crisis in America that will affect us for years to come. 80% of people they surveyed reported higher levels of stress since March. They found that the compounding stresses of the virus, the economy, the election, healthcare, national unrest, and climate change, all of which we have little to no control over, have overwhelmed so many people. Every group, the report found, is suffering, but some more than others. Younger persons clinically depressed, older persons in isolation, lower income communities strained for basic needs. The tension and edginess have been like adding a 50-pound barbell to the baggage we were already carrying. If you are struggling with depression or anxiety these days, please hear me when I say to you that you are not crazy. You are not senseless or irrational because of those very real feelings. You are not lacking faith in God because your anxiety attacks won't stop warring within you. This year has swung hard and tried to knock our feet out from under us. For those of us who were previously a bit wobbly, the fall has hurt even more. Sometimes I don't know if Paul's "don't worry about anything but in everything pray" is helpful or harmful, or if we just take it out of context. Just pray about it does not seem to be the best response to someone struggling with mental health. As well-meaning as "give it over to God" might be, I do know people who've tried that and did well for a time, but still have not addressed some very real issues in their life due to anxiety and depression. I do sense that we as a church, and me in particular as the pastor, can do a better job in this regard. Caring for body, soul, and mind of this congregation. This week I compiled a mental health resource list complete with information, counseling therapist names, as well as a few at-home practices, including reminding you that our shepherds are here for you. Here is that list right here, front and back. If you would like a copy of it, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. There is no shame or judgment over mental health issues. You will not get that from me. In addition, I want you to know that I plan to advocate in next year's budget cycle for a mental health fund similar to a benevolence fund that we currently have. The mental health fund would help pay for counseling therapy for folks who need financial help. And maybe next year is too long of a wait for such a thing, and maybe one of you would like to sponsor an earmarked account for it even now. Let's you and I have that conversation. What I don't mean to do is to make light of what Paul is saying. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I think Paul is right. As a people bent toward Jesus and his saving love, what we do because we are loved is bring it all before him. We bring our anythings and our everythings. We hoist up our anxieties about the pandemic and protests and powers. We gather up our needs, both mental and physical, and we lay it at his scarred feet before the one who is already aware of them, already tending to them, already moving towards all these things. And we pray, not in the sense that if you pull this spiritual level, out will come a spiritual blessing and your life will be better than you could ever imagine. That's not how prayer works. What prayer does do is draw you into the God who is as near to you as your very breath. God in our prayers opens our eyes so that we can look again, our ears so that we can hear again, our hands so that we can touch again, our noses so that we can smell, our mouth so that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. Prayer, as Dick Darrow so often reminds us, in all its many forms, whether public or private, aloud or in silence, written or sung, walking or kneeling, prayer is one of the best ways that I know of to remember that the Lord is near. We don't know how any of this will turn out, but we can pray, even with thanksgiving, even with rejoicing, because we can be assured that God cares. Like any discipline, prayer takes time and plenty of practice. But before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Worry ceases being the center of your life, and the peace of God takes its place. The peace of God, which says, I am with you, I am for you, I am watching over you, I am fighting for you, and I am on the move. just like I was long before you were born and will be long after your final heartbeat. It's in God that we find our rest. Thanks be to God for that. And together we say or type, Amen. Our thanksgiving and rejoicing brings us right to the table where a seat is reserved for us. It's reserved for you. Jesus is our host and our welcomer. And as we eat and drink together, we remember his life and his death and his coming again. Let's share this meal together.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory.
As we talk about every week, now is the time to consider your offering, your contribution to the work of this congregation that continues to go on, even though we're not meeting in this building. You can give online, like many of you do. You can also mail it in or bring it to the office, and we'll take care of it, whichever way you choose to do so. And thank you, as always. A couple of family matters to share with you. I want to remind you about the Missions Love Offering, which we've talked about several weeks now. This is an ongoing Missions Love Offering that started a couple weeks ago and will end on November 22nd. Whatever money is given will be split 50-50 between Reggie and Glenn, our two missionaries. We want to love and support them in this way. Also, if you saw in the bulletin this last week or the newsletter, we're having a drive-through celebration for the Tucker family. Lori and Michael, as you know by now, are moving to the Austin area, and we want to celebrate them, even if it's going to be for just a small moment and at a distance. This will take place on the 22nd of this month from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. It will take place in our larger parking lot, and the other shepherds, myself and Chelsea and Cora, will be sitting underneath the carport with Michael and Lori, and we're just going to make a drive-through parade, and you can lean out the window and share words of encouragement and thanksgiving to them. And if you're walking up, that's just fine, too. We just ask that everybody wear masks and keep a safe distance. So we'll talk about that again next week. All right. Also happening a couple weeks from now is our Thanksgiving meal. Over the last 10 years, this was Michael Bell brainchild, which has blessed us time and again in this community. We've always had a potluck meal with those massive pizzas you may remember on the Wednesday, two Wednesdays actually, before Thanksgiving, and our neighborhood brought food to share, and we had a great time over in the fellowship hall. Obviously, that's not happening this year, and so we want to adjust it a little bit. We're going to do a Thanksgiving meal in tandem with our weekly food distribution to our Reach to Teach neighbors and friends by including in the sack traditional Thanksgiving goods and even a turkey, which has been donated to us from the YMCA and HEB. Those have been given to us, and we'll share those with our neighbors. Would you like to help out? Because I can't do it myself. I would love for some people to either make homemade desserts that you can bag up or purchase prepackaged desserts that we will include in each of the Thanksgiving meal bags. We're looking for those by November 23rd, so if you want to make a note of that, that's the day that I would like them. You could either bring them up on that Sunday night when you come and visit the Tuckers, or that Monday. Could you write a note of encouragement that we stick in the bag? We do something like that every single week, which I'll talk about in a moment. Could you come and help me deliver that week? That would be fantastic to our neighbors. Lots of ways to get involved. Contact me, let King know if you are willing to do that. One more thing, and then Chelsea is going to come and bless us, send us out with a benediction. I mentioned the encouragement notes that you can write for our Thanksgiving bag, our food distribution. I've shared with you before that Martha Clark so faithfully every single week includes encouragement notes in these tiny little cards that are maybe 2 inches by 3 inches, and then the Tuckers stick those in each of the bags. This last Wednesday, I was talking to one of our neighbor friends and talking with her for about 10 minutes, and she opened the door and asked me to come in. I am masked, and just gently stick my head in, and there is a dresser with a mirror over the dresser, and in, tucked between the mirror and the frame, are 6 or 7 of those little notes that Martha Clark has so faithfully written week after week after week, and she expressed how much gratitude that she has for that simple encouragement. She kept every one of them. So those are the kind of small things that I think God's Spirit does amazing things with. So come and help us with our Thanksgiving food distribution, and we'll see what God's Spirit can do with that. Thank you again for joining us. Chelsea is going to come up and bless us and send us out, and we'll see you again next Sunday.
Good morning. One of my prayers when a new client comes and sits in my office for counseling is that I may join in the work that God is already doing in their lives. When clients come in, I know that they've had a journey much before coming and sitting on my couch, and they will have a journey after our work and time is done. And I love that Steve has talked to y'all today about resources and calling things out and acknowledging and normalizing. I think that is powerful. And so I hope that you're taking a minute today to address where you are, how you're feeling, maybe to reach out to loved ones around you. I love that Steve has brought up things that we are doing in this neighborhood and the work that is going on. And so that God, like Steve said, he goes before, he walks with, and he comes after. And so hear these prayers as we close out our formal service and go into the work that God has for us this next week. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruits of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Amen. Be well this week, my friends.